Have you heard the one about the comedian living in Pakistan? If you haven't, you're about to. Sammy Shah is a comedian who learned how to make jokes very, very carefully about suicide bombers while living in Karachi. You can joke about some things in Pakistan, he discovered, as long as it's not religion. A few years ago, the established comedian moved to Western Australia, and he's written about his life and career in a memoir called I, Migrant. Sammy joins me now from Brisbane. Hi, Sammy. Welcome to Books and Arts Daily.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Now, just to kick off, why comedy? Have you always had the comedy bug?
I think I've got the lethal combination of egotistical and deeply insecure at the same time, which pretty much guarantees a lifetime in stand-up comedy because it's the only career which fulfills both those needs where, you know, the whole world is thinking about me, but I'm also positive none of them are saying anything nice. I think, yeah, stand-up comedy provides me that.
And then a memoir is the obvious extension then. That egotism gets fed again.
Well, I think the memoir is actually a tough one. I had to be talked into this. My editor, Richard Wallace, he really pushed me into doing this because as a comedian, I'm very susceptible to, or I'm very cynical, actually, about certain things. And the word memoir and autobiography, when you're 35 years old, sound fairly pretentious to me. So I really didn't want to write it, but he kind of talked me into it. And I decided to make it about something more than just my life. So I've actually written more about a sociocultural history of Karachi, the city I'm from, and the experience of being a migrant than just I grew up, I did comedy, it went all right.
You shouldn't beat yourself up. Justin Bieber's already got one volume of his memoir under his belt, so you're not doing
Does
it too
he?
Badly. Yeah.
Volume
one,
God,
I'm assuming. I'm assuming there's going to be future volumes.
Yeah.
But you never know.
The only difference is his ghostwriter is probably better than me, so, you know.
Right, that makes perfect sense. Bieber would only have the best. Look, how personal is your comedy, though? How much when you get up and do stand-up are you kind of exposing yourself to your audience and showing your kind of inner workings?
The golden rule is that even if a comedian is a liar off stage, he's never more honest than when he is on stage. And that's very much how it is. Like, when I'm doing stand-up comedy, it doesn't matter what the topic is. What you're hearing is the honest truth and the most honest I could possibly be about that subject or whichever subject, and mainly about myself. I also try to make it a combination of political satire and those kind of things, and then my own personal stories, because I think I'm not comfortable being pegged as a certain kind of comedian. I try to do comedy on a variety of subjects because it's just more interesting to me that way. So for me, doing it about myself and the things I've seen and things I've experienced is a nice way of balancing it off once I'm done yelling at the government and such.
Well, that yelling at the government's really interesting to me. I mean, you say in the book, actually, that you are finding your own comedy is getting angrier at the moment. Mm-hmm. In Australia, you've done a number of routines about refugee policy. How
Yes.
important is that political charge and that anger to your work?
I think it's at the point now where even if you aren't political, not being political is a statement of political intent in and of itself now. And the only reason that is so is because the world's getting more and more polarized in the way it's dealing with political issues. So, for example, to say that I don't have an opinion on boat people, or to say that I'd rather not talk about the refugee issue, is in a way condoning the mistreatment of you know, babies and children and women and people in Manus and Nauru and these areas. So you have to have a stand on it. If you're going to say I'm for it or I'm against it, know why, know what you're talking about, and be open to be to have that discussed around you and with you. And for me, my stand-up comedy definitely is important in dealing with these things because I try to come at them from an angle that maybe you haven't already. And in a venue, you don't expect to. When you go to a comedy club, you don't expect to get into a nuanced discussion about boat people. And if I can provide you with that, maybe I can help change your mind.
That kind of combined political consciousness and interesting comedy led to you developing your own national TV news satire show. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It was basically one of those things where the channel had, I used to work at a news channel as a news producer, and they'd been after me since I joined, to do something in comedy. And I kept telling them, look, you're a news channel. You shouldn't have a comedy show until you've established your news voice. It doesn't make sense. Even if it's something I want to do, it shouldn't happen. And for 2 years, I avoided doing it. And then finally, I did agree because I had an idea for it that made it work. And it was basically, it was a once a week show where every week I'd sum up the news and everything. And the fun part for me was, as an experience, was I got to do the writing, producing, directing, editing, graphics, animation, and hosting all by myself. And as a control freak, that really is, that hits the sweet spot right there. And you know, so the show lived and died by how good I could make it. And initially it didn't do well, and then it kind of started finding its feet and becoming its own thing, and then it got cancelled.
Sammy, I'd prefer it if you didn't talk about such efficient business models for media while you're on the ABC. You're going to give people ideas. The one-man show is a dangerous proposition.
Well, that's the way it is now, because it's one of those things where even in news, that's what we were taught. We were taught that you don't need a cameraman. You can do the camera work yourself. You can stand in front of the camera, do the reporting yourself. And the world is getting such that everyone can do everything. And the more the world gets that way, the more you realize, oh, people should be doing specialized tasks for a reason, because they're really good at those specialized tasks. You just end up with a jack of all trades otherwise, master of none.
Yeah, I honestly can't do one thing effectively. So multiple things at once is terrifying. One of the interesting things in the memoir is that a kind of caution that has been your watchword in your comedy when you're in Pakistan is still there. Mm-hmm. You're careful not to name particular political parties who you might offend. There's clearly territories that are off limits or that you need to be careful
about. Well, I still
have
family in Pakistan. I still have, my parents are there. My siblings are there. One of my siblings is there. I want to go back there regularly on holiday and stuff. I want my daughter to grow up meeting her grandparents there. And there are certain lines you don't cross and certain things you probably shouldn't say. Nothing might happen, but there's a better chance of something happening. And so I'd rather, be on the cautious side there. But that's, again, that's one of the reasons why we moved, because in Australia, you don't have those fears. In Australia, I can talk about anything to do with Australia. And even if people get angry, they won't kill me over it.
Even in West Australia?
I really appreciate that. Sorry?
Even in West Australia?
Even in West Australia. Like, you'd be surprised at how open people are and how accepting they are of different opinions and stuff. I'm always surprised by that. I'll always go into a thing thinking, okay, I'm going to talk about boat people and refugees, and there'll be going to be a bunch of like people there who are supporters of the government, and they're going to boo me and they're going to throw things at me. And after the show, those are the same crowds who are, by the way, bikers and old people who have just grown up on farms and all these things, and they'll come up to me after the show and say, that was really funny and I really appreciated you saying it that way. And, you know, so it's one of the things which you realize that stereotyping people is really easy and completely inaccurate. It completely not have any basis in reality. And that's why I really appreciate getting the chance to do comedy in places like regional Western Australia, for example.
You do talk a bit in your book about Australian racism and about the way in which you're received as an outsider. The book is much more than just a fish-out-of-water memoir, but certainly the material in WA does deal in part with that. Is that harder as a comedian to be seen as an outsider?
Comedians are always seen as outsiders. So I think that it's got nothing to do with how a comedian is perceived, the racism aspect at least. It's fodder for my comedy. Sadly, it's the kind of thing which when it happens, and it's happened a few times, you know, acts of racism or racist things around me, I can discuss them on stage and stuff. It's become a huge portion of my act. But yes, it is definitely something which I think as a comedian, comedians shouldn't fit in, and they don't fit in, and there'll always be misfits. And being a comedian kind of guarantees I'll always be one. And so I don't think, you know, being a part of the inside is something that I aspire towards. That said, yeah, the racism does exist. It's fairly casual, and there are varying degrees of it. And you'll encounter some things that are horrifying and some things that are just amusing. And yeah, it's just something I've learned to deal with.
Did the process of telling this story again and setting it up as a book or a memoir, you talk about having been resistant to the form, but didn't introduce to you the idea that there's been a through line in your career? Did it reveal things to you that maybe hadn't been apparent at the time?
It was strange in that I got to look back on things I'd done and analyze them more than when you do otherwise. Where, like, you know, for example, let's say something happens to you as a child, and you spend your entire life thinking, "Well, that guy wronged me, and I'm bitter about it." And then you go back and you analyze it for the purposes of writing about it, and you realize, "Oh, maybe I was unfair," or things like that. So there have been a lot of times in my life where I thought I was the victim, and I realized, "Oh no, there were bigger issues around it." And that happened when writing this book. But beyond that, I think the only through line I can really think of that really came as a discovery was the importance of comedy. I've been doing this comedy thing now for 10 years, 12 years almost, and I never really realized how important it is to me until I sat down to really, really tell other people about why it's important in the first place, not just to me, but to the world.
I'm interested. I mean, you describe stand-up itself as being the purest form of performance. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by the notion of it being somehow pure?
It doesn't get the respect it deserves. Look, if you're a musician and you're on stage, if you're a solo act or if you have a band, it doesn't matter whether the audience is paying attention. You will play your music the same. Even at its worst, you know, maybe you won't do some banter or you won't riff as much on the guitar, but you still play the music, and it doesn't really matter what the audience is like. In a theatrical production, you've got other actors, or you've got the dialogue and the direction and all of these things. In improv comedy, you've got the other improv comedians to rely on. In stand-up comedy, all you have is a microphone and a stage and an audience. And the connection is direct. The thoughts are starting in your head and going directly out to them through the microphone. And their reaction defines the performance. If you see Jerry Seinfeld do two shows, they're going to be different each night, because one night the audience might be great and the one night the audience might not be great. Or one night everything might be great, but one guy isn't great in the audience, and Seinfeld picks up on that. And that's the way it works with every stand-up comedian. I honestly believe that if you want to see creativity and performance in its purest, stand-up comedy is where you go to see that.
And so, do you think being a stand-up has made you a better memoirist?
Oh, God, no. They're completely different muscles. I think being a stand-up has made me better at pulling bits of my life to shred and pulling things about. It gives you a way of analyzing the world. Because, first of all, it forces you to always see the other perspective. Because even if, for example, I personally might not agree with you, your perspective might have more jokes inherent in it than mine. So I have to analyze things from different perspectives. And also beyond that, it also helps me stretch out a topic. If I might discover something, I need to think about how can I stretch this out to fill 5 minutes of stage time. And you start learning how to analyze and dissect and basically develop something from nothing. And I think stand-up comedy is a very, very useful skill for doing that. It's not something I'd recommend to everyone, because I think the more stand-up you do, the more it makes you an outsider. But yes, it definitely is a fun thing to do once you've mastered the skills.
It is interesting, though. I mean, in writing a book, you don't get to feed off your audience in the same way that you would when you're standing in a room. I'm curious, just as we're finishing up, we touched in the intro on the fact that you had a stand-up career on Second Life as well, with a virtual audience. Can you tell us a bit about that? Because that sounds bizarre.
Bizarre doesn't even begin to touch it. Basically, what happened was I was doing comedy in Pakistan, but the only way to do comedy in Pakistan is if I book an auditorium and I do a one-hour show, or if I get a corporate gig. And so I do a one-hour show every year for 2-3 days, and then I do corporate gigs the rest of the year, and I wasn't getting any stage time. And to be a better comedian, you need to get stage time. So I discovered Second Life randomly one day. I just found it online, and I logged in because I was curious. I just wanted to see what Second Life was. It's an online virtual world. It's like the Matrix, except instead of leather coats, everyone wears cat ears and tails. And I logged in and I discovered that there were comedy clubs in Second Life. Like, that's a thing that happens. They weren't very successful, but, you know, they existed. And so I went down there and I started doing comedy. So, like, 3-4 times a week, I would log into Second Life, sitting in my pajamas at home with a microphone headset on, and my avatar would stand on a pixelated stage in front of an audience of avatars who were hearing what I was doing through their computer speakers, and I'd do stand-up comedy. I think it helped me a lot, because it made me rely on my own words more than any performance skills I might have, because that's all they're doing. They're only hearing you. And also I got to do lots of material about pixelated penises and such.
Perfect. So that's gold. So does Second Life still exist? Is your avatar wandering around some big car park somewhere panhandling for change?
I logged into Second Life a few months ago, like, just out of curiosity. When I was writing the book, I just wanted to see whether Second Life was still there. It still exists. It's very empty now. It's mostly just perverts and the diehards.
So much more like book publishing then. That's fine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's very similar to book publishing that way. So, and lots of 50 Shades of Grey dedication avatars in Second Life. And yeah, but the comedy scene is dead. All the people I knew who were doing comedy there like 6 years ago, they're not there anymore. Most of their careers have probably either taken off or they've given up and committed suicide or such. But no, it's a grim place now. It exists, but it's grim.
Samishar, it's been wonderful talking to you. You can now be introduced at parties as Samishar is a comedian and memoirist. So hang your head
with
shame. Oh,
God, why can't I just say writer? That's the worst. Memoirist. If anyone ever introduces me as memoirist, I will punch them and walk out of the party.
All right, no, that's probably fairly sound advice. Samishar is a writer and comedian, and he's the author of I, Migrant, A Comedian's Journey from Karachi to the Outback. It's out now from Allen & Unwin. Thanks so much for joining us today, Sammy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Books and Arts Daily on RN. I'm Michael Williams.